Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Be light on yourself. Be easy on yourself. Normalize that anxiety in the person next to you and normalize that conversation.
Yeah.
Ask the person next to you if they have it too, because granted, they'll be open having a conversation about it with you.
Yeah. I've never regretted being open about it.
Ever.
I'll tell you that right now.
Once I admitted to my mom that I think something was wrong, I really realized like that I needed to take action.
Yeah.
And I think that was like having someone to hold you accountable for what you're feeling helped.
I remember like on the stairs when I was 12 years old, like bawling to my mom saying I'm nervous all
that
the time, mom. She's like, you know, she acted like she didn't know what it is, but back in her head she's like, oh shit, this girl's got anxiety.
Oh damn.
Hey,
straight candid, here we are. Does anyone else have that weird feeling that they constantly have to be making noise?
Yeah.
I have to sing everything.
I was going to say we do the exact same thing though. Like if I say something, I turn it into a song.
I know. Like, gotta go get toilet paper.
Let's get that decaf coffee.
Sig it is out. Speaking of coffee, excuse me.
I know.
So Sophie and I have this little habit. She goes, I know. She knows what we're about to talk about. We have this little habit. We like to go get coffee pre-episode, okay?
Which is usually not a good idea.
Never, because I am shaking. My knees are trembling right now. But we walked to go get coffee. The cat calling this morning. Excuse.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about my decaf coffee.
Oh, well, that too. That's just wrong.
She judged me, but I'm anxious today, okay?
Which is fair.
But also the cat calling. Wow, that was interesting.
I'm not kidding though. How often do you get catcalled? First of all, I never go outside anymore, so that might be something. Hello,
I think
COVID.
It has to do with when you're with another girl too.
I do too.
Because like if I was alone, I feel like that usually doesn't happen. But since I'm walking with this hot piece of ass, no, I'm just kidding. But
Ziggity. Also,
you're walking with like another person. Guys feel the more
need
comfortable
to
honk
that little horn.
Actually, so that when the guy revved his engine, I tinkled a little bit. Got scared.
She tinkled her pants.
I did. It just came out. I was like, oh shit.
Oh. For real tinkle or like you're kidding?
Like when I get scared, I tinkle a little.
You do not.
Or if I laugh really hard, I pee a little bit. But that hasn't happened in a while. Like if you can make me laugh that hard and I pee in my pants a little bit, that's a keeper.
I've never peed my pants laughing, but every time I get on the damn trampoline, let me tell you, that shit
comes out quick.
One jump and I'm whizzing my pants. I kid you not. This is no joke.
I'm dead.
Spoiler alert, boys. We don't like catcalling. I don't think I know anybody that likes catcalling. And I know in some cultures that's actually, it's appropriate, very appropriate and kind, but.
What did I yell back to the first guy that did it?
Oh yeah, you fuck you. Shut up. I was like, I'm literally standing there like straight face. I'm like, okay.
I flicked him off too.
You did flick him off. Hey, she gave an effort. Hey, he was putting in work. You were too.
I put the work right back. So I also got decaf coffee, which is why I thought you were going to call me out, because I go up there and I'm like, decaf coffee, and people really have a bad rap with decaf. They're like, what's your point of drinking coffee if you're going to drink decaf?
Do you even like the flavor?
They're like, it's like you're going to a casino without any money. I'm like, exactly.
Wait, I'm sorry.
My point.
What is that?
Was that a good analogy or no? Didn't make sense?
No.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Okay.
That's
well,
okay.
All I'm saying is I'm drinking decaf because the anxiety levels are pretty high right now.
You guys probably don't know this, but we record a little bit ahead. And in fact, we're actually holding off for election week, which you'll know by now listening. But it is election week. And yesterday was election day in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So
we currently don't know who the president is. That is why the anxiety is a little high.
Yeah, we feel weird. I don't think I slept very well last night.
Oh, I didn't either.
I think that's why we feel a little off today, too.
Yeah, that
just
could
off,
be.
Kind of.
We were really trying to get in the mood for you guys.
We jumped. I squeezed her shoulders a few times.
Yep.
I slapped her ass.
Yep.
I jumped up. I jump up a little bit when we were on our walk outside.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the catcalling was happening. She saw me. Someone saw me squeeze your booty cheek. But no, it's in all seriousness, respecting everybody's space on election day. This is a weird time, and nobody knows what's happening. There were protesters last night outside our windows.
That's why you didn't sleep well too, right?
I live on a main street in uptown. I'm not going
to
give it up.
I love how your roommate is trying to be so quiet right now. And like you can, Angie, clap your hands quick. Probably can't hear it. You're good.
Angela.
Wow.
I love
what
that.
Respectful roommates you
I
have.
I love that little woman. She slithers into a room like a little snake. There were protesters again. I'll leave it at is I'm nervous for the outcome because I think people are going to react fairly, which is completely fair, but it's freaking me out a little bit.
I am with you on that. Yeah. I just heard sirens all night because I sleep with my windows open. And I remember, you know how you make things really dramatic in the middle of the night? Like it's the end of the world. But I actually thought it was the end of the world and I was like paralyzed. So I like couldn't get out of bed because I was half asleep. But I was like, the world is crumbling. And
wait, did you have sleep paralysis?
No, I don't think so. Maybe I've heard of that though.
Could you not get out of your dream basically? Or like,
well,
get
like
up from
I
the
knew
bed?
I was aware of what was happening. Like I could hear the sirens, but I just like couldn't move. Yeah, maybe that was
sleep paralysis.
God. Dude, I don't know. Damn it. Let's just say I didn't sleep well.
I'm like, okay, so you were paralyzed in your sleep. Yep, sleep paralysis.
But this is a great way to kind of segue into what we're talking about today, which is anxiety.
Anxiety, which is the one piece of like mental health that we both have a lot of experience with.
Yeah.
There's a ton of mental health things, you know, anxiety goes hand in hand with depression and like all these other different things. But we want to share our actual experiences with it because on the outside, especially like just with social media, we spoke on that with Chris too. It's like,
no one knows.
Nobody fucking knows.
Everyone's like, wow, they must just be happy all the time. Their life is perfect. When reality, like, do you know how many people that you're probably sitting in the same room with or down the street that are dealing with mental health issues?
Oh my God.
Probably at least 20 to 50. I would say half of them.
Well, I forget the statistic, but it's like, I think it's close to 50%. Andrew's going to pull it up, I think, for how many people in the U.S. and in the world actually have anxiety, especially with our fast paced U.S. culture, which everybody
and uses. Especially with our generation right now, growing up with social media. I don't always like to link social media with anxiety because my mom always tries to preach me on it and it pisses me off. But I do think there is a little bit of a correlation.
I don't doubt that at all. But
let's just say a lot of people deal with it.
A lot of people deal with it. A lot of people are struggling with it. What's weird is actually a few people reached out. I did a little post and I was like, oh, ask me a question. How do you handle it all? Like, how do you stay doing all these things and
seeming
normal? Andrew's got the stat for anxiety.
Well, there's some crazy stats that people probably don't realize. Ages 30 to 44 have the highest rate of anxiety.
Oh.
One in four people.
Yeah.
The age ranges of 30 to 44.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, like, we all think of ourselves in the generation of, like, I have a good understanding the person across from me probably has anxiety. But the people in a generation above us are sitting in the same thing and probably not talking about it nearly as much as even we are.
I know.
Exactly.
Oh, God, that's a good point.
Thanks,
Andrew. Really sad. Thank you, Andrew. Anxiety's all around us. I mean, I like to think everybody has a little bit of anxiety, not actually like to a form, but they've experienced that panic feeling. And people who don't have it, I think you understand that feeling of like when you are, I'm trying to think of an experience. Even when you're, let's say you're on the top of a roller coaster and you're like, holy shit, I'm about to go down. Oh my God, my stomach's going to drop. That's anxiety feelings.
Yeah. So, I mean, experience anxiety to a certain degree is healthy. You know, it motivates you. Everyone has situational anxiety. You're a little nervous for a first date. You are nervous about your test tomorrow. That is completely normal. But there is a difference between situational anxiety and someone with generalized anxiety disorder.
Exactly.
Or someone with panic disorder or OCD. Like there is differences. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about. And like what our personal story is with our anxiety and what has helped us. So do you want to like go into kind of your past, Sid, with
she's literally
wrapped up
in cords.
Hey, nice shoes.
Hey, oh, thanks, Twinny. Yes, I'd actually love to. I've touched on Arizona a little bit, but I figured more detail would be helpful. And actually, a few people pinged me and they were like, maybe you should talk to this a little more because I think a lot of people can relate to it. Quick question before I start, where do you get anxiety the worst, though? So,
like when it happens?
Yeah.
In general, mine is more of a generalized anxiety disorder. So what that means is like it's more of like a constant nervousness And obviously people can't tell this when I'm talking or when I'm presenting, like in social situations, I'm totally normal. Like I'm fine. It's just like a constant, mine is more like a physical, symptoms that I experience if I get out of my self-care routine or if I stop taking my medication. So I will say there are times where, when it gets worse, and that has to do with, for example, today, like this is a little triggering for me, like this whole election.
Of course.
When I start obsessing over something like that, that a lot of times that has to do with when my anxiety is the worst. And also if I have too much caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I did decaf, because I did already have caffeine this morning. So I just try to keep that like at a level.
I mean, you're not even really supposed to use caffeine because it is a drug and it does stimulate your body when your body's already stimulated. So it's like, yeah, it's going to make it worse. But so, caffeine wakes you up. So it's like, you got to give and take.
Exactly. And I love the taste of coffee. So if you have to get decaf, don't let people judge you. Sorry. But also like, no, you didn't. It's fine. But also I remember my therapist telling me about CATS. It stands for caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, and sugar. And you just have to be careful with those substances, really, if you do have anxiety or depression, because it can trigger it.
That's simplified the idea so much.
Yeah.
What the heck?
So you do have to take care of yourself. That's pretty much what it means.
Okay.
But yeah. What about, like, do you have a certain time when your anxiety comes out?
I have flaring moments.
Okay.
I have times where my anxiety is through and through the day, like just spiked, and it feels weird, and I'm panicked, and I feel anxious, and my key sign is that I get really irritable. Okay. And I'm not an irritable person, but I get pissy. Like I can everything bugs me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like I'm being mean to my roommates. I feel like I'm being mean to my mom. My mom calls me to ask me a question. I'm like, God, you want to know when I want to come home? You want to fucking know when I come home?
I get irritable too. And you want to know what made me irritable this morning?
What?
Standing outside your fucking apartment waiting for you to unlock the door.
Okay. Can I just note this right now? So I'm like, oh yeah, I went down there, unlock the door for you. And she's like, no, it's locked.
That's why I text you before, because I usually stand outside and it just grinds me the wrong way.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll be better. But turns out I actually left my door unlocked. Mm-hmm. So I went down to unlock it and I actually relocked it. And that means my door was unlocked and the protesters came through and were throwing shit everywhere. So that is wonderful.
That's kind of sketchy.
That is very sketchy. Anyway, hopefully they weren't doing any harm. No, but my anxiety gets horrible on planes.
Oh, really?
Horrible. What I've realized is I actually have generalized anxiety disorder, and I'm also very claustrophobic, which is interesting because my dad has both of those exact diagnoses, and so does my grandma.
And you know what? Guess what? I'm going to talk about a little bit.
What?
Is the genetic play into it.
Because it's huge,
because
right?
Because people a lot of times are like, nah, it's you know, nurture versus nature is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe it's both, but yeah.
I completely agree, but I don't know enough about that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear that from you because I have no clue. But I get weird also pre-plane ride and post. It could be like post-drinking.
Anxiety for me is so bad.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Sundays I'm like, something is... I can feel my heart beating really fast.
Oh my God, I can relate.
It's That's why alcohol, CATS, stay away, guys, or limit it if you do have anxiety.
You got to limit it, because here's the thing, too. If I overdo it one shot, meaning like now I feel like I'm actually drunk. Now I'm not tipsy anymore.
Yeah.
The next day, I feel like I made so many wrong decisions, even if I just was at a friend's house and we were all hanging out. It's so weird. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm depressed. I'm lost.
What am I doing with my life?
I probably fucked my job up. How? Because I had no correlation. I just feel like I'm lost every single time. And it's the worst feeling. Yeah. Why get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
Why? If you can just have just as much fun being tipsy versus drunk, which being drunk doesn't make anybody with anxiety feel better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Or from my knowledge.
Maybe
anyone I've
at
talked
the
to,
moment,
but
like the days afterwards, not worth it.
Yeah. Well, let me dive into Arizona, because I feel like you don't even know.
Yeah, like my what's life with Arizona? This. Tell me, what do you mean, Arizona?
I always preface Arizona.
Yeah, people are like, what do you
They're
mean,
like, what
Arizona?
What the hell is this Arizona shit? Okay, long story short, I've mentioned this before.
Long story long, actually.
I had severe anxiety, and the anxiety ended up being related to my need for somebody else in my life. I needed to fill a void, okay?
We talked about this in the relationship one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was filling a void by being overly attached with a guy.
Yeah.
My overly attachedness and my not knowing that I had anxiety made me feel like the only way I felt comfortable and confident was when I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
I felt
and
like I was safe.
And if he were to disappear.
Yeah. So when he would disappear at times, the guy I was dating at the time, for long periods of time, like 24 to 48 hours. And I would literally get physically ill because I was so worried about like what he could be doing. What I didn't realize is that actually I had anxiety and it was just heightening it to an extreme degree. I ended up moving to Arizona, going to school at ASU for a year. I've talked about that a little bit.
For the guy.
I tried to excuse it that it wasn't for the guy. But the thing is, I felt better when I was in his space. Mm-hmm. I felt safer. I felt all these things. I was literally filling this ginormous void in my life during it. And then he cheats on me. And cheats on me again. And then all of a sudden, all these people I had surrounded myself with had been with him.
Wait, so after he cheated with you the first time, were you still with him?
No. So basically, long story short, I actually was visiting Angela. I came home from that weekend because I was so homesick. He had cheated on me and I found out, and then more and more started coming out like after that night. So
this is kind of what triggered you to have to like work on your anxiety, because now you didn't have someone to fill that void.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, my one true thing that I knew could like that make me feel better.
And that was consistent in your life, and you could control.
It could control everything gone. About it. Gone. I had to drop it, because no matter what, I'm like, I can't forgive him.
Yeah.
I feel empty. Like, yeah. I can't forgive him. Yep. So I'm like, holy shit, where do I even start? I'm in a fucking state I don't even like, because then your eyes open. You're like, okay, let's dive into this. Mm-hmm. I'm in a state I hate. No offense. Sorry, but it's just dry. I don't know. It's dry. I need water. Grew up on a lake. I need water.
Yep.
I'm.
And ASU, just saying, toxic as fuck.
I'm sorry, you guys.
It's like St. Thomas times 20 when it comes to a lot of things: eating disorders, anxiety, partying,
things that are not normal STDs. Get normalized there. Literally things that are not normal get normalized there. Eating disorders, drinking every day of the week. I drank 5 days of the week, you guys.
Oh my god. I would.
Drugs are normalized. People like cheating on other people's couples and getting with a friend's boyfriend and fucking that you're la la la. It is psychotic. Like, it really is. And so all of a sudden I started thinking all these things were normal. That's not fucking normal. No. Check yourself. Check your surroundings. The people you surround yourself with will definitely be who you are. It will continue to be who you are. So I just had to basically wake up and realize I had horrible anxiety. I need to do something about it.
Yeah. What did you feel when you had anxiety? Like, what were like your, you could say, symptoms, like mentally and physically?
I would say at this time I also had depression too. So I would feel not hungry, couldn't eat. I felt like I was having a heart attack. Basically, my heart was beating horrendously.
Yeah.
Felt like the days were so long and all I wanted to get to was sleep, so that I knew that I could turn my brain off.
Okay.
I felt like I overanalyzed everything. Mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't have any friends, even though I did.
Were you seeing someone at the time, like therapy wise?
No.
Okay.
I hadn't seen a therapist until this year.
Okay.
Like ever.
So what did you do to help?
Basically, I had to hit myself in the face and say, the people you're surrounding yourself with are not good people to help with any anxiety. You need to. I repainted my life in Arizona. I'm like, listen, if I can't leave, I better figure it out and repaint everything that I'm doing. So I stopped drinking 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I reevaluated my friends, and it turns out I actually met some of the best people in the world down there, because they were there for me and I found them in all the craziness and they supported me. But I had to start realizing that alone time was okay. I had to start making to-do lists, start getting my life back together. I re-got a membership to a gym. Mm-hmm. I kept pushing myself. I started having notebooks. I write everything in a notebook. My notebook is literally right in front of me right now. I make a to-do list almost every single day.
Yep.
Then I started writing my goals down. Then I started writing down just the simple things to get done in a day, because when you have horrible anxiety, it feels like going to the grocery store and doing your laundry all in one day feels like the biggest lift in the fucking world.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to push yourself. You have to get back. And it, honestly, if you have a mindset that I can versus I can't, you feel like the world is at your fingertips again.
And that's why I think you like to write things down too, because I've started to do that and I have noticed it has helped me. It's because you replace worrying with like a plan.
Yes.
And if it's a good plan, you don't need to constantly review it.
Mm-mm.
Unlike something that is a thought in your head and you're constantly ruminating, going back to it, because you don't have a step-by-step action plan. When you like write it down, you have a little bit of an action plan and you actually are making changes to help with that, whatever you're worrying about. It at least puts the thought at ease,
because
you have it in there, you know what you're going to do about it. So like, if you do have anxiety, definitely try the writing shit down.
Writing shit down makes a huge difference, because, and keep it by your bed at night. Mm-hmm. Because part of the reason, if your mind is moving so much at night and you're like, oh, I got to do this. Mine is always like, I have to do things. Write them down. And then it's on paper.
And then close the fucking book.
Close that fucking notebook and shut your eyes.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know if I would want it like by my, I don't know. That's then fair. I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, I have all this stuff I got to do tomorrow.
No, don't read it. Just write down. I always do. I'm like, there's a new day tomorrow. I know these things are tangible. Mm-hmm. You have to be also your cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because if you're like, oh no, like all these things, I'm feeling anxious as shit, I'm not going to be able to get to it. It's like, well, then you probably won't, because you're going to spend your time worrying. I've had to change my mindset a ton.
The notebook that I do have by my bed, and I think you're going to bring this up, is the three things, like what you're grateful for. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I have actually three things I have to do every single day. Mm-hmm. I have to meditate at least for 5 minutes. It's a must.
Do you meditate?
Yeah, I do.
I need to do that.
Meditation feels weird. You're like, why am I sitting in a room alone, not looking at anything, closing my eyes and breathing? It's kind of awkward at first if you haven't done it.
How do you do it?
I use a balance app. Yeah.
Okay.
And they have a free subscription for a year. Just make sure you unsubscribe at the year mark, because wowza, that's not cheap.
What app?
Balance.
Okay.
They've also got the Calm app. They've got Headspace. They've got a ton.
Okay. But I think I have Headspace. Yeah.
5 minutes of solidarity. Did I say that right? Solidarity. Sorry. Forgot the D. Whoa. And you, I kid you not.
Don't ever forget the D.
It will change your entire day, because you have a point where you can stop and breathe for 2 seconds, and you literally teach your brain to be like, nope, that thought ain't coming in my head. Nope. I don't care if I got to do laundry later. I don't care if my socks are dirty. I'm waiting.
And I can't wait, because we're going to have Antonio on next week, and he's going to dive all into meditation, because that's something that I've struggled with, is I can't get myself to do it. And so I think he's going to kind of talk a little bit more about that. But what else do you do?
The other two things, are writing down every single day what you're grateful for. Three things.
Yep.
No matter what. I usually do it right in the morning when I'm having coffee. Maybe will take you 2 minutes max. And it starts the day on a positive note of what is going good in your life. And if you start the day with that, I kid you not, it will change your mindset for the day. Then you get to around lunch. I usually do lunch meditation.
Okay.
That way I'm like, okay, my morning's getting tough, work is tough, but I know I've got a 5 minute window of nothingness coming up, and I'm going to feel really good after I take my time for myself.
Yeah. And I remember reading this one time, and it is so true, that when you're writing those three things down that you're grateful for, or even sometimes what I like to do, because I can't meditate, is shut my eyes and like picture the three things I'm grateful for. Maybe it was about my mom calling me and, you know, the love I felt through the phone, something cheesy like that. But you cannot be grateful and anxious at the same time.
Oh,
like it's impossible.
Oh my gosh.
Because if you're sitting there and envisioning like your mom or your family or something that you're grateful for, there's no way at that exact moment that you can be anxious.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. Because your mind can only do one thing.
Yeah. That's probably why it helps. So I like to do it before bed.
Wow. And I mean, when you're actually physically telling yourself, I've been here before, I've felt this feeling before, I know that it ends.
Yeah.
It will actually end. As long as you catch yourself before you get over that hump of like panic mode, and you can prove to yourself, like, I can catch myself before I hit that panic mode, you'll feel damn good.
Yeah.
And it won't happen. Mm-hmm. But basically, the reason Arizona is such a prominent point in my life, and I'll kind of bring it full circle, is because I had to choose my lifestyle at that moment. I kid you not, I chose exactly who I was going to be at that moment. Was I going to be the person that stayed? Really?
Yeah.
Was it going to be the person that mopes around and always talks about how I was hurt and brokenhearted and I moved to the wrong place and I'm just going to party my ass off and get the Arizona vibe that I wanted?
You could have gone the total opposite direction. You could have either fallen off the wagon and just started doing drugs and binge drinking and, you know,
and don't get me wrong, I dabbled in that because I was lost. I thought, why the hell not? Might as well try this.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. Very wrong. Realized that very quickly. Instead, I chose the other direction. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to prove to myself that I'm still going to be the person I want to be. No matter what things are thrown at me, no matter how bad my anxiety is, it's time to rewrite my own story. And I came back to the U, and people are like, why did you come back? Why did you transfer back? You know what I thought in my head? I'm like, the only people that should matter, their opinion should matter, is the people that care about me.
Yeah.
Why does anyone else's opinion matter? Yep. And that's when I decided to change my mindset.
And those people, oh my gosh, that just makes me mad.
It makes you mad, but it's like people get anxiety about what other people think.
Yeah.
People think too. Well,
that's honestly probably what anxiety stems from is mm-hmm. like, I'm definitely a people pleaser. And I think that probably has to do with anxiety as well. So
it for sure does.
You know, it's hard when you're like, I don't care what people think, but really the deep down, like, It goes back to like your parental being brought up by your dad and mom. Like
100%.
I was afraid what my dad would think. Like, who knows if that's part of, you know, the core of both of us and our anxiety too. So
I'm sure it is.
It's crazy.
I just always was. Yeah. I was a people pleaser since day one. Mm-hmm. And it actually ended up hurting my relationships a lot more. Cause I would say I could be in 17 spots at the same time. And I had to deal with that. I fucking lost friends. I made my best friends so mad at me that I barely got the friendship back. Because I was being a people pleaser. It makes mm-hmm. no sense. If you don't want to do something, don't do it. If you don't want to put your plate too full, say, listen, text the person. Say, I'm overwhelmed today. Be honest with your emotions.
That's what helped me too, is start saying no to certain things, which sucks. You can't always, and you always say yes, and you still struggle with it. But
I totally
sometimes you have to be like, you know what? I'm not going out tonight, or I'm chilling by myself tonight. As stupid and lame as that sounds, sometimes you need it. So say no sometimes.
I need to be better. I'm preaching, but I need to be better about
that. Your friends will get over it.
I feel like that was that last one that I put on the back burner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, just pulling you into this, you've got your fitness job, I've got my full-time job, we both do the podcast, we both are personal trainers, we both have friends in many different friend groups, we have our family, we have our own place that we have to keep up in line, we have shit, I'm like, I don't even know where else to go.
I mean, it doesn't really stop.
It does not stop. We don't not feel anxious. I feel anxious all the time, but I've taken the steps to feel better.
Everyone feels like that. It's an overwhelming feeling with everything you have to do. Like, it's not just us that, you know, has this. So I think everyone deals with this, but obviously, are you done with like your tips, do you think, or you got some more? Sorry guys, I'm like half mid-sentence.
I thought I had one more thing that I was going to note about being anxious, having your plate way too full. Oh, my one note I was going to say, cause I'm in the midst of it right now. When something is new, it's going to make you anxious because it's not familiar.
That was me every year in like elementary school. Literally. I'd go home crying. Mom's like, are you okay? I'm like, it's just new. I'm bad at change.
We did multiplication.
Yeah.
No, but like literally.
No more pluses. There's division.
Too many. Literally though, keep in mind when you're doing something new and when you add something new to your plate, no shit, it's going to feel like a lot. You're going to get anxious, but normalize that anxious mm-hmm. feeling and it'll normalize feeling normal again. Mm-hmm.
Do you like routine? Is that?
I wonder if I do.
Yeah.
I feel like I always
say I'm like, I like to be spontaneous and I don't like routine, but I think like I do like to have a routine.
Okay. Actually,
you
don't want to know why, because you're going to laugh at me and I didn't tell you this yet.
Yeah.
Last night I'm looking at Airbnbs. I'm going to do a little quick getaway weekend in Arizona. Woohoo. And
You're going back to the core.
Just because I'm going with someone that wants to golf. And there's two of my friends that I actually like, I'll go anywhere with them. If they were in Iceland, I'd fly there tomorrow. I want to go see them, but I could not get myself to click the flight, like buy flights or buy the Airbnb, because I was debating between 14. I'm like, what if I get there at 10 a.m.? Am I going to miss part of the day? Or what if I fly in at 8 p.m.? And then I'm like, oh, the Airbnb, ooh, they have carpet. I'd rather, it's dirty maybe. I'm like, I can't make decisions because I'm anal. And I'm like, no, it's safer to stay home. I'll just stay home. You know what? I don't want to get on the wrong flight. I don't want to mess around with that. I don't want to, you know,
It starts with like which Airbnb, and then it ends with, I'm just not going at all.
I had 14 pulled up.
Oh God.
I called Jordan. I'm like, hey, can you help me sort through a few Airbnbs? He's like, I think we're just going to pick one. I'm like, well, listen, they've all got great qualities. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one's 5 minutes away from this one, but here, just hear me out. He's like, you've got issues. I'm like, anxiety. Thank you. Guess what? Picked a great one because of it.
Cheers.
Cheers to that. We're going to Arizona. I did it and now I'm sweating even thinking about it.
I love it. That's exciting though. Good for you. You pulled the trigger.
Do you have anything that you use, like behavioral, like just tips in general that you use?
Yeah. So
for your anxiety?
I will say, like, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you guys, we're going to kind of segue this conversation into medication, because obviously building like a skill set, and basic methods to deal with anxiety without medication is really important. And so I do think you need to start, if you're on the edge of deciding whether to go on medication or not go on medication for anxiety or depression, definitely try some things that Sid said. Mm-hmm. But when your anxiety starts to significantly affect your ability to function in your everyday life, it might be time to try a medication. And that is where I was at like 5 years ago. So I went on an SSRI, which is a medication that's used for anxiety and depression.
Okay.
It stands for like selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So that just means it like floats more serotonin in your brain.
I think I actually got prescribed that when I went in to get, and I got diagnosed and they were like, I'm going to prescribe you this, pick it up or don't.
Yep.
And I'm just someone who's, my body is not, I get worried that I'm going to feel out of control.
Yeah.
But some people, it's like for you, it's what makes you function for me, for the entirety of the day.
Yeah. For me, I feel in control with it. If I'm not on it, I'm out of control.
And that right there is the different forms of anxiety.
Yeah. But before I get into that, I will say a few more things that like behavioral or, you know, something you can work on without the medication is, especially for females, I've noticed that you have to kind of, okay, so a lot of women like track their periods, right?
Yes.
Have you noticed that your anxiety gets really bad during certain parts of your cycle?
Yeah.
And as long as you can write that down and note that and you keep that in mind, you're like, okay, this week I'm going to be anxious as hell.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're like aware of it, it kind of helps because you know it's coming.
Oh, I don't even track my period and I should.
So you should start, because I know you were talking about how you get like kind of anxious a few days before and think your whole life is ending.
Yep.
If you know like, okay, tomorrow's the day I'm going to be anxious, like you already know it's going to happen.
If so you know it's coming, it's like you're exactly prepared for it. Oh, good point. Damn.
And then I was also going to say like laugh, make time for fun. So there is to a certain extent, definitely say no to certain plans. But if you want to go play with puppies or like hang out with your friends, aww, like make sure you're doing things that you still enjoy.
In society.
Make something. There's something. Oh, I learned it. When was this? 3 months ago. There's this lady at the place where I worked and she has laugh therapy.
What?
You literally just sit there and laugh at yourself. And it's the stupidest thing. But then you start laughing because you think I'm, it's so ridiculous. Laughing. So then you're like, oh, I'm not anxious because I'm laughing at myself. It's interesting. What?
Wait, that's kind of cool.
I know, right?
Where is she?
She had her own company and we throw events at WeWork. And this was before COVID. So it was probably longer than 3 months ago. But I remember she was like, I can come in and do laugh therapy for the members. And I kind of laughed. I laughed in her face, but I was like, wait, that's kind of funny. Like,
that, no, I mean, yeah. I feel like I could do it at home though. You look in the mirror and you're like, you're a joke.
Yeah.
You're a fucking joke.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah.
So the reason why I ended up going on medication is because like Sid said, like I also had physical symptoms.
It's
sorry,
the first Wednesday of the month.
They just elected the president.
No, stop. What's that? What's that movie where it's like they sound the alarm and
it was The Purge.
The Purge. They sound the alarm.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Oh my god. Okay.
It actually, I get alarmed now with any noise because of everything going.
Everything happening. I'm just paranoid. Okay, so we're gonna get into medication because I have been pretty open about the fact that I am on an anti-anxiety medication, and I've had numerous people reach out to me on Instagram asking what I thought of it, like what brand I'm on, how it affects my sex, etc. So I do kind of want to talk about that.
And I'd love to learn from you because I genuinely have no idea about anything medication related.
And personally, I believe that, like we were talking about before, anxiety and depression, I do believe it has to do with maybe like your lifestyle and the way you grew up and circumstantial situations. Yeah. But I do believe there is a genetic factor to it as well.
That 100% is accurate.
Yeah. Because I honestly believe there is a chemical imbalance in the brain of someone with really bad anxiety and depression.
Which is why you can.
Which is why the medicine does help, is because it balances the serotonin out and it doesn't let it just be reabsorbed. And so in order to make my brain function the way that someone else's brain functions, my dad likes to explain it like, he said this the other day. He goes, it's like a lubrication for his brain.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so it's your like, dad. Yeah, I called my dad, you guys. And I also asked him a lot about sex and SSRIs, and he had this full-on conversation with me.
You can ask your dad about sex?
Hold up, I'm not done.
Oh my God.
So I called him like, Dad, it's going to be really awkward, but like I have some questions for you because I know he's dealt with it because I've talked to my mom about it before and she's brought up my dad. So
did he have any idea that you knew?
Yeah, I mean, he probably did.
Okay.
Yeah. So I called him and I asked him all these questions, and my dad's also a doctor and knows a lot about this because he's been on medication for like 30 plus years.
Okay.
And he, you know, we had a good conversation, and then after the conversation he goes, and don't you ever talk to me about sex again.
Oh my
God. And I was like, all right, Dad, thanks. All right, Dad. I'll talk to you later. But anyways.
Oh my God. First of all, how sweaty were you?
Oh yeah, I was pretty sweaty. And my mom was also in the background because they were on speakerphone. My mom just chuckles and she was just laughing too. But
oh my God.
But yeah, I actually, so the reason why I know a good amount about this is one, that I've dealt with anxiety for a long time. Two, I wrote a really intense research paper on SSRIs or anti-anxiety, anti-depression medication related to sex.
Yeah.
My senior year of college. And three, I also texted my psychiatrist. So, and called my dad. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say you got the intel. Mm-hmm.
So I got the intel. So, we're going to talk about how this medication can affect your sex, because I feel like our age group, like Andrew said, like 1 in 4 people are experiencing this, which means there's a chance that 1 in 4 people are on some type of medication, and it is a little more difficult to talk about because, our age group, let's say you're just dating, you can't just openly talk about like your sex issues.
No.
You know, it just, and you should be able to, but it's definitely not a normal conversation to have right now, which is why
we're here too, talking about
which is why we're normalizing it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're married and your husband or wife is on some sort of SSRI or anti-anxiety medication, you're going to talk about it if your husband's having issues, you know, I don't know, getting it up or something, or whatever. Right?
I mean, but we'd hope that people are having that conversation, yeah. but then again, we don't know.
Well, when you're married, yeah, you might be, but you'd I'm talking about our age. Yeah. It's just a little more awkward and people aren't going to talk about it. So
especially if it's like you're getting to know somebody, it's the first few hookups and you're like, you're getting to know somebody. You have that emotional piece. You've got the physical connection and then you have the intimacy too.
Exactly.
And the intimacy is a big piece of it. As much as we don't want to admit that, but it's like, it's a huge piece
for sure.
So it can feel weird.
Yeah. And if you are, so it can affect your sex. Actually, so the medicine can affect your sex in 3 ways: orgasm, ability, and intensity.
Okay.
So you could maybe like not even be able to orgasm
if you're taking the medication, you're saying. Okay.
And decreased libido or sex drive. Okay. And then also physiological issues like erectile dysfunction issues and maybe like getting wet or lubrication.
Okay.
So, there's this girl that actually messaged me on Instagram. This is kind of bringing it back to like the listener questions of the week, Candid Cues. And she was saying that she's on an anti-anxiety medication and she has no sex drive.
Oh,
like,
man.
She doesn't care about it. She doesn't think about it. But she needs the medication. So for the people that still need this medication but are having issues, I want to like offer some ideas and things that have worked for me. And also from the research I did and talking to my psychiatrist.
Also just talking about it. You're normal. You're totally normal. There are people
like,
out there.
I'm a normal girl and like I'm on medication
and I have issues
that helps me. And I have had issues So I'm going to talk about it.
Well, normalize the conversation though. It's huge.
If you did just start taking your medication, you do have to give it time. Cause sometimes your body has to like get used to the medication. So if you're having issues right away with libido or, you know, erectile issues, etc., just give it a little bit. It can take like 3 months.
Okay.
Dosage is another way. So I've been actually biting my pill in half, which might take a little bit to get used to, but that I've learned that a lot of SSRIs are only tested on men, which is
what do you mean?
Up. Like, you know, trials when they do all these peer reviewed studies and they're like, the lowest dose for this medication is 5 milligrams. Okay.
So that's
but
for a
actually
male.
Actually, that's for a male. And they don't test it on women because they don't want to mess up their hormones. So,
Which doesn't make sense if women and men are going to be taking it, but okay.
So I'm on the lowest dose of my medication right now, but I've been biting it in half. So like low. Like I'm hardly on anything.
Can I ask you a question about your medication just in general?
Yeah.
Because I've been at points where I was like, medication is for me. I need to go in. And I go in, I get the prescription. Then I'm like, if I take this and I feel even more out of control.
Why do you think you'd feel more out of control?
Because
I don't get that.
This is a mini side story. I was told that if you smoke weed, you will get relaxed. I have many, many occasions where I have smoked weed and I have panicked.
Yeah.
Thought I was flying in a cloud. Thought I was literally sinking into my couch. Like, thought I was having a heart attack. Yeah. Literally take me to the hospital issue. So, to me, association with feeling out of control is feeling an altered sense of myself. So, foggy brain would mean weed. So medication, I'm afraid if I take it, I'm going to have that same feeling. And then I know it's in my body and I have to just deal with it. And I'm like doing the thing where I go, how long until I feel normal again? How long until I feel normal again? Yeah. Will this last forever?
I think you're associating like recreational drugs with drugs that have been tested and have worked for millions and millions of Americans. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like weed, when I smoke weed, sometimes I have the same issue. But
I just don't like to alter my own. Mm-hmm. My being. Okay. I think that's why even when I get drunk, let's say I get like a little tipsy and now I'm like, oh, I'm actually getting a little too drunk.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. Start to panic.
Yeah. I see what you're saying too, but
have you ever felt that with
not,
it?
Not with my medication. I'll 0%? Be honest. I feel more myself when I'm on it than when I'm off. Like okay. I went off it like 2 years ago. Cause I was like, a lot of people, when you start feeling normal again, you're like, I don't need this shit.
I can move
you
off
throw
of
it away. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh God, I realized why I was on that. Oh and my, so okay. I didn't, I mean, there's probably withdrawal involved in that, but I wasn't sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like that's one reason why I need the medication is because if you don't sleep, you're fucking crazy the next day.
And if you don't hydrate too, by the way.
Yeah. If you have insomnia, you know what it feels like. It is the worst feeling in the world to not sleep and just be laying there and having issues falling asleep. Oh my gosh. So that is kind of the main reason.
It's like thinking about it.
Yeah. It's like physical symptoms that I needed it for. So try the dosage thing though. We're just decreasing a little bit because sometimes it's just enough to help with your anxiety or depression, but it's also not enough to affect your sex.
Okay. Okay.
So, or obviously talk to your doctor about before you do any of this, and then certain brands, affect sex more often than other brands.
Okay, weird. I mean, it makes sense because it's different chemicals. Yep. But
time of day, so a lot of times people take their medication at night and then maybe you're getting jiggy with it at night or something.
Oh yeah.
Try taking it in the morning so you have, it's not just fresh in your system right away.
Yes. Yeah, so what I'm saying, because that's when it spikes your hormone levels. Okay, that's actually smart.
And then this one's a little more risky and is very controversial, but you can do what's called a drug holiday. So like you go, like let's say you're planning a vacation or like a honeymoon and you're like, I don't want to have sex issues. So then you just stop taking it for like a week. That could work with the sex, but you also might go crazy. So be careful.
And it's only a temporary fix.
Yeah. Temporary.
Yeah.
And then in general, sex is more than a physical act. Like there's a lot of emotion involved in it. Maybe if you're having issues, focus on like pleasuring the other person for a while until you're getting used to the medicine, until you figure it out yourself. Like,
so you feel relaxed again, maybe.
And when you're pleasuring someone else and you're not worried about yourself or performing, in return, you might be surprised what happens to your own body.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. You can get yourself in the mood or, I don't know. I maybe, can see how what you mean with that.
So those are just some tips I have if you are having issues with the medication that have helped me. So, yeah, that's all I got for that.
Dang. You like did some research.
Well, yeah, I literally pulled up my research paper that I wrote and here, look at it. If anyone wants my annotated bibliography, I got you. I did. Yeah, no, I'm serious.
From 2015.
I think that was a study that I did on it.
Oh, so that's separate.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a long research paper. I can send it to anyone if you need it.
Send it. Email, drop your emails below.
Yeah, but so that's the reason why I went on medication is because I was physically not sleeping. I felt like my heart was falling through my asshole every day.
Every single day.
Yeah, all the time. It felt like you were in a panic. It's like, you know when you get really nervous for something?
Yeah.
It was that all day, but I wasn't nervous about anything.
Were you doing anything different?
No, nothing. Nope. It's literally just, I felt completely, my life was fine, like, I was happy. I've never had depression. I literally just physically, my heart rate was so high. And I used to like look at my Apple Watch because you know how it has your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be sitting down on the couch and it would spike to 150.
That's just so wild.
I don't even get to 150 when I'm in a HIIT workout.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, I need to go on. I was like, I can't. I was like,
you can't live like that. That's not sustainable.
It wasn't healthy. And no. I'm so much more myself and I feel great. Why the hell would I not do it?
Of course. I to be honest, I've been in like 20 different times where I'm like, I should go on medication. Mm-hmm. And then I've done something that has helped me in a different way. And I haven't need it. When I need it, I will go on it. Yeah. I feel 100% with that. But like,
and keep doing that until.
Yeah, until I can't.
Until maybe you can't anymore. But if you can, I definitely recommend doing those behavioral tips, writing the three gratitude things down and
Writing to-do list, goals list help me, because then I'm like, I don't feel like I'm floating through thin air trying to like go towards something.
Yeah.
Goals list literally down to what you want to do that day. Mm-hmm. Make three things. If you've got a million things to do, say I'm going to get done my laundry, I'm going to meal prep, and I'm going to go on a walk so that I get outside. Remember, to-dos don't always have to be like the thing that you don't want to do and get done. Like,
yeah, like
give some for yourself.
Call your grandma.
Call your grandma. How good would you feel? If you're feeling that guilt, I get anxiety from guilt too, mm-hmm. where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't talked to my grandpa in so long. That's so bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to call him, but I can't get myself to call him because I'm like, what if I'm anxious? I don't have time today. It's like, put that on your to-do list.
Or what if I don't have a good conversation, then they leave not liking me?
Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah. Do you,
No.
No?
No, my grandparents are
going to love this. No, not my grandparents, but like someone if I'm going to call. Like,
oh, I thought you meant your grandma and grandpa. Oh, I'm just too anxious.
Like, I want to make sure that I'm like on, or what happens if they don't like me?
I do that with FaceTiming friends that are living out of town.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, 3, 2, 1, they're answering and it connects and it turns on. You're like
hey. Hi.
You've had the worst day. Hi. How are you? Oh, my God, I'm good. Okay. I promised myself, though, I wouldn't lie to my friends anymore about how I actually was feeling.
Love that. Like, how are you? I'm shitty.
I know, I'm ass today. Yeah. Ass. Butt cheek.
You tell me that a lot.
I do. I'm like, I'm ass. Well, because you know what? I got a new job, and let me tell you,
your
shit is not easy. Mm-hmm. I've been stressed. I feel a little off, to be totally frank with everybody.
I do too today, I'll be honest. And that's part election, part changes, part everything. So.
Everything.
So that was my really long answer to my listener question, my candid Q.
Yeah.
Do you have a candid Q?
I do.
That someone wrote in.
This one's actually related to anxiety and insecurity around dating.
Oh, I love
it. So body confidence in dating. Someone wrote in talking to us about just how can I feel more confident when I'm pursuing somebody, or feeling more confident that I'll be pursued. Mm-hmm.
In actuality, this person, quote unquote, said, I feel like guys won't date me if I'm not a size
two or four. Yeah.
And she's just really insecure about that. And I think, it pissed me off. Cause I'm like,
it pissed me off too.
I'm like, no. So we're going to talk about it.
But it's like, it's so simple, you know, for us to say like, what do you mean? Like, but it's like, we aren't feeling that internal feeling. We're not feeling that she's feeling. So what I wanted to tell her was, everybody has a different type. My type, I like a little bigger, more meaty guys, like still fit, but like a bigger guy. I'm not as initially attracted to a skinnier person, whoever that may be. Okay, now what's your type? If you had to give one, generally, you know, if someone asks you, what's your type?
Like, Andrew has a great body type.
Okay, so Andrew's build. I like that.
I would say I'm not attracted to like beef heads.
See, okay, what, like overly ripped, you mean?
Yeah, like I don't like that.
They go to the gym and they check themselves out, squeeze their booty cheeks.
Like I don't like that. But some people are into that. It just totally depends. And I think guys are the same way. Some guys like big tits. Some guys like small tits. Some guys like curves. Some guys like little twigs.
Some guys like natural looks. Some guys like a little fake, like a lip injection, whatever.
Everyone, it doesn't matter.
Because everybody's different.
There's someone for everyone.
Literally someone for everyone. But what it comes down to is confidence is sexy in a woman and a man, no matter who it is. When you're walking around a room and you're feeling confident and you've got this little swagger almost to you, and you're talking a lot, you're talking a lot, you're not worried about what people are thinking of you. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're just trying to be you. You look different.
Mm-hmm.
You literally look different.
You send off like this aura.
It's an energy thing. You give off a better energy when you're confident. You just look different. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed too is like, even, and this goes back to where I've ever been, ASU, where it was like prominent with eating disorders and fakeness, or here, it's not always the hottest girl in the room that gets the attention.
Yeah.
It's honestly confidence. If you really want that attention, it's that confidence. Just build that confidence up, feel good, and walk around and have a swagger. My trick always too, when I always get like a little bit like heated and nervous, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting in my head, whatever, pretend and you're kind of like wanting to attract somebody.
Yeah.
Pretend everybody's a friend. Because that takes the weight off of like wanting a guy. Like, pretend everybody, when you're walking around, like, they're just my buddy. I don't care. Like, I don't care what he thinks. Like, what's up? Like, how you doing? Like,
that's
you
don't easier need, said than done.
It's way easier said than done. But like, don't trip yourself up. Have a fucking vodka soda and just walk around and everybody's friends. It shouldn't be a focus of like,
that's
I'm coming
really
here for a guy.
That's a really good tip though. Because,
you think so?
Yeah. Because it's so weird because like when I'm friends with someone, it's like I can completely be myself and
exactly.
You just like shoot, you just have so much fun, and then if like it just gets, you know, you just
have
to
get kind of nervous.
Yeah, you get nervous.
But literally, I'll say this right here, right now on camera. When people like have a little more curves, I wish I could. I'll never genetically have that. I wanted bigger boobs. I'll be honest. I've wanted all that. And that's what some guys really, really like. But it's like, it's not about being what a guy wants you to be. It's about being comfortable in your own skin and being able to find somebody who matches you.
Yeah.
Literally, it comes down to that. It doesn't matter your body. And I know that's easier said than done. But it's like being confident in your skin and being confident for yourself so you feel good will make you and allow you to attract other people.
I love that.
It starts with that. I mean, yeah. I know that's like the simple answer, but it's like, it's not simple, but it's worth working on. I don't know. That's my two cents.
That's not your two cents. I think a lot of people would feel that same way. And I think women need I think women need to realize it. So I appreciate your answer.
We're freaking hot. Ladies are hot.
Yeah. Honestly, every girl is hot in their own way.
I was going to say, okay, like girls, I think girls are way better to look at than guys.
Girls are hot.
They hot dog. They hot dog.
All right. So that is our episode on anxiety. And anything else you want to wrap up with?
Not really.
Before we figure out who the freaking president is.
Seriously. Holy crap. No, just be light on yourself. Be easy on yourself. Normalize that anxiety in the person next to you and normalize that conversation.
Yeah.
Ask the person next to you if they have it too, because granted, they'll be open having a conversation about it with you. Yeah.
I've never regretted being open about it.
Ever.
I'll tell you that right now.
Once I admitted to my mom that I think something was wrong, I really realized like that I needed to take action. Yeah. And I think that was like having someone to hold you accountable for what you're feeling helped.
But I remember like on the stairs when I was 12 years old, like bawling to my mom saying, I'm nervous. I'm nervous all the time, Mom. She's like, you know, she acted like she didn't know what it is, but back in her head, she's like, oh shit, this girl's got anxiety.
Oh damn, she's got it.
Well, I had test anxiety too. I had to like sit in different rooms to take tests in elementary school because I would get so nervous, my entire mind would go blank and I'd forget everything I studied for.
Oh my God.
So then I learned to overstudy and now I never had test anxiety just because I knew I was going to get an A because I knew the textbook straight start to finish.
You literally read entirely word for word and memorized every page.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
Question for you before we wrap up, because I'm actually genuinely curious of this. Did your anxiety start as a child as OCD?
Oh. No, not OCD.
Okay, because that's how mine started. I was just curious because I thought maybe that was
what was your OCD about?
Oh, for the love of God. Okay, so first of all, if I like flipped a switch and I like flipped it back down, I had to press it down to make sure that it wasn't going to get stuck in the middle.
I feel uncomfortable. Wow.
Get stuck in the middle to have a fire. I'd have to like really push, push the faucet closed to make sure it wasn't going to have any water out. Because if the sink clogged and the water was still going, it could literally overflow the apartment, whatever.
I mean, I used to be weird about like,
odd numbers,
having to have a night light in
night light. That's normal. I feel like
I always thought someone was gonna like kill me in my sleep.
I feel like kids are just, we get told like don't talk to strangers because they'll grab you, and then every time we go in a room alone we're like,
yeah,
like, what if they do?
Odd numbers scared you?
No, I couldn't have an odd number because if I hate saying
she's
this out
like
loud,
okay,
like,
this is really psycho.
I say it aloud and you're like, oh shit, I have issues. I couldn't even watch odd number channels, sorry Cartoon Network, because if I watch TV in an odd number, I thought that something bad was gonna happen to me. Everything had to be even. I couldn't blink odd numbers. I had to look at something and blink twice. Otherwise, I thought something bad was going to happen to me. It's OCD. It's obsessive. So you start to get obsessed over things and you can't turn it off.
Do you still have that for anything?
No.
Besides talking to yourself after you say something? She'll be like, I got a coffee. And then she'll be like, oh, I got a coffee.
Well, I made fun of Angela and she made fun of me the other day, my roommate, because I was like, she talks to herself
Angie.
All the time.
Come here.
I was making fun of her because she talks to herself all the time. And then the other day we're in the kitchen, I'm cooking around her. I go, gotta grab the onion, gotta grab the noodles, go over here. I'm like, oh, don't want to burn that. She goes,
Angie, come say hi, introduce yourself.
What did
we
you
talk about you a lot?
What did you say?
Hi, I'm nervous. Come back. She's asking you a question.
What did you say to me when I was like, oh, I'm talking to myself all this time? And you're like, you looked at me and you're like, what do you say?
You do too.
You're like, yeah, you were like, so
no, I
the
can't
sass,
remember,
whatever.
I was upset.
Yeah, you were like,
you
are you kidding?
Yourself as much as me.
You go, you think I have issues? You're the one that talks to yourself more. I'm like, sheesh. Called out in my own home.
God, that's damn hilarious.
No, but Antonio is going to come on next week. It's going to be amazing. He actually works with Lululemon to host meditation and anxiety events, and it's a male perspective. it's a male perspective with anxiety, and I think that's going to be huge for opening up that conversation on the male side.
Yeah, I was going to say we're talking about all this, and I feel like a lot of women are going to relate to it, but there's a whole different side of this where men feel like they aren't manly if they talk about mental health and their issues with it. So that's why
dives so deep.
That is why Antonio is coming on, because he is a mental health advocate, especially for males. And this conversation goes way far beyond me and Sid and women in general.
Exactly. And just so you know, Antonio literally labeled himself. He's like, I was a millennial or am a millennial. I was in that age group and I just decided to make a change. There's nothing. He didn't do anything abnormal. He literally just took a stance instead of pushing his emotions down.
And
so that's why it's huge.
Acknowledge his uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah, exactly. We're freaking excited to have him on. You guys, thanks for listening. Keep sending us in questions that you want us to answer. Things that we're...
meaningful questions.
Meaningful questions, please.
Not if Sid's single.
And I literally got, is Soph single? Would you set me up with Soph?
Yeah, I got some
like,
Sid ones.
Yeah, you guys. No, meaningful things, because we'll have fun conversations and we want to keep it real and candid with you and get down and dirty. So, dude, it's been
good. Follow us, Straight Candid Podcast on Instagram.
If you got to email us, straightcandidpodcast@gmail.com. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming and listening.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hey.